All right, let's pray. God, thank you tonight for your grace in our lives. God, thank you that we are able to go up the hill and we're able to meet with you, God. And the cares and the things of this world can fall to the wayside. God, all the applause of this world, all the hurts and pains and fears of this world, God, all those things can just fall off. God, tonight I'm asking you to make some more of that fall off and just to do your thing in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, you guys rowdy tonight? You guys a little bit like, oh. I don't know, when Elena leads worship, you just want to like fall asleep at the feet of Jesus, you know, be like, so good. Where's Elena? I can't see anything. You know, Elena, you're awesome. How many of you guys love Elena? She's incredible. That was just awesome. Awesome. All right, so today I'm going to share with you guys. I'm just going to take you on a little bit of a journey. Now, it's important for me to tell you that, and here's why. Because the Bible says that God ordained preaching, okay? So I'm not really going to preach much tonight, but you have to understand this. Some people in our generation, we like sharing, right? Because it's just the kinder, gentler church. But you guys have to understand something. You got to get in your spirit. And tonight I'm going to share with you guys, but you have to know something. God has ordained preaching. Say preaching. Preaching is exactly what you think. It means heralding, yelling, standing on a soapbox, shouting the good news. And the Bible doesn't say that God chose it because it's the best method. It says that he chose it because it was foolishness. So, you know, you're walking down the road, you look at a little table, and there's an M&M, and there's a chocolate chip. And see, we look, and we grab the M&M because it melts in your mouth, not in your... Right. But you see, the wisdom of man is foolishness to God because God's fixing on making a cookie. You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if you guys have had some Ashley Webb. How many of you guys want Ashley Webb to make everybody at GM some chocolate chip cookies for next week? She's saying, no, that's a lot of baking. Amen. How many of you guys want somebody to make you some chocolate chip cookies next week? I mean, chocolate chip cookies with M&Ms are good. They're just not as good as the real deal, right? You see, so we like sharing because it's you know, it melts in your mouth, not in your hand. But see, God has chosen preaching, all right? So I thought I'd just send that out your way before I start sharing tonight. Is that good? You like that? That was all free. Amen. All right, if you got a Bible, I'm just going to walk you through it. You can turn with me a little bit tonight, but tonight you can just kind of listen and hang out. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 12. The book of Genesis is the first book in the Bible. Chapter 12 is about a pretty important guy in the Bible. His name is Abraham. Starts out as Abram, and God changes his name. Chapter 12, verse 1 says this, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and go from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be blessed. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So Abraham departed, and he went on a walk. Okay? So Abraham's, he's the guy we call the father of the faith. Like, he was the man, right? I mean, Abraham's the man. And the Bible says in the New Testament that we are children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Cool stuff, right? So Abraham's this cool guy. And so we just kind of take a walk down. I like walking through the Bible. You guys like that? You know, this guy Stephen in the book of Acts got killed for it, so I figured it's probably a pretty good idea to do it every once in a while. I don't think anybody's going to kill me in here for it, but you just kind of get this idea of what God's doing through history. It's a good thing. So Abraham's this amazing guy, and he starts this whole thing, really. And we go a little bit farther down the road, and there's this guy named Joseph. Now, Joseph is the son of Abraham, the son of Isaac, the son of Jacob, and he's the favored son. You guys remember that, the coat of many colors? And so Joseph's kind of an important Bible guy. Yeah? You guys think so? I mean, you know, kind of important. You know, like 14 chapters of the Bible are written about this guy. Like the first 3,000 years of history are in one book, and almost half of it have to do with this one guy. You know, he's kind of an important guy. And so Joseph, he goes out on a walk to see his brothers. His brothers throw him in a hole and beat him. They sell him into slavery. And as he's a slave, he learns business. He learns how to buy and sell. He learns how to manage stuff. And so he goes to Potiphar's house, and he learns that. And Potiphar's wife's got the hots for him. So he decides that's not a good idea, and he gets busted for something he didn't do. So he gets thrown in jail. He goes from jail, and pretty soon he's running the whole country. Kind of a cool deal, right? All right, so that is Joseph's gig. And then you have this guy, Joshua, who's a pretty amazing guy. And Joshua leads all of the children of Abraham, the children of Isaac, the children of Jacob into the promised land. And he kicks butt and takes names and serves God all the days of his life. And he's a pretty amazing guy. And then you have this guy named David, who's a really amazing guy. And God said, David is a man after my own heart. Right? And David writes like almost the entire book of Psalms. He's this incredible warrior that also writes poetry. He's like every woman's like, you know, he's like this manly man. He's like, come thou my love, my rose of Sharon. Anyway, that's why I don't write poetry. So anyway, so David's this incredible, incredible guy. My sticky notes in here. And then you find this guy, his name is Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king of Persia, okay? And I was just like, what a resume, right? It's like, what do you do? When the king gets thirsty, I bring him a cup. What else do you do? That's about it. That was his job. And so Nehemiah gets chosen by God for his amazing resume to go and to start rebuilding Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple. Pretty cool deal. He's kind of an important Bible guy too. And then you have this lady. All the ladies said amen. A lot of stories in church are about guys, and all the ladies are just like, that's right. It's a woman. Her name's Esther. And so this whole book of the Bible, actually, I remember when Christina preached about Esther. It was good. And she did a fantastic job, and all the guys were seriously challenged, and it was good. Yeah. So Esther is this amazing lady, and she's pretty, and her uncle Mordecai works for the government, and Esther becomes the queen, and she saves her whole nation. And she's kind of an important Bible person, too. And then you have this guy named Job, and Job's a kind of an important Bible person because the devil just takes everything he has, takes his whole family away, all of his sheep and everything else, and he just gets on his knees and says, God gives, God takes away, bless God. And at the end of his life, Job sets an example of how to be totally just ripped apart and still walk with the Lord. He's kind of an important Bible guy. So we come through the cross into the New Testament, and there's a couple more important Bible guys. One is this guy in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. I'm going to turn there. And it still sticks. Awesome. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. This is what it says. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to all who follow, this is the centurion that comes to Jesus. Centurion's a soldier. He says, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed it, so let it be done unto you. Wow, this guy is just some punk soldier that comes to Jesus. And Jesus looks at this guy and says, I haven't seen faith in my whole church like this. And this guy's just some nobody. And so we go on a little bit, and there's plenty of people I'm forgetting. And there's another guy named Cornelius in the book of Acts. And Cornelius is a God-fearing man, the Bible says. I think it's Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius prays every day. He doesn't even really know God. He just knows that there's more to life than what his culture is saying. And so because this guy was so faithful to God as a soldier, he was also a soldier, God sent Peter to him. And because of this man's faithfulness, a whole bunch of people in his household got saved, got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And honestly, all of us are here because of this man, Cornelius. Because he was obedient to God, the gospel came to us Gentiles. Okay? So, yeah, that's great. Why are you telling me about all this stuff? who really cares? It occurred to me something when I was looking at all the lives of these people I just mentioned to you, and that is this. Not one of them was a prophet. Not one of them was a priest. Not one of them was a pastor. Not one of them was an evangelist, a teacher, and these other things. These aren't some second-rate Bible people, are they? Abraham's a little bit important, you know? Nehemiah, maybe kind of important, right? Cornelius, we're all kind of thankful for his obedience. I am, right? Every single one of these people, Joseph, 14 chapters of the Old Testament written about this guy, he was a businessman. God chose him. That was the deal. And it really started occurring to me that the way God sees success sometimes is different than the way we see success. See, in our minds sometimes we think, man, if I play football, then I need to get to the NFL, I need to be the quarterback, right? I mean, that's just like, you know, that is the thing. But God's economy is different. The way God works with things is not you need to be X, right? If you play a video game, you play the quarterback, right? Because he's like the centerpiece of what's going on. But I want to just give you guys a little bit of perspective tonight if I can. Can I do that? There might be one or two people in this whole room, maybe three, that are going to be in full-time vocational ministry. That means somebody's going to pay you to preach or to teach or to whatever. Right? Now, out of 100 people, that's not very many. Right? So, thank you for playing. The rest of you, you guys are all second-class citizens. In whose economy? In whose way of thinking? Yeah? I mean, if to really arrive in your Christian walk, you need to be a pastor? You need to be a pastor's wife? Really? All of you guys, with the exception of a few, are excluded from the privilege of being at the top. Well, I kind of just don't think God thinks that way, you know? And I think that we all think that we shouldn't think that way, even though we think that way. I remember being at camps, and there's an altar call. How many of you are called to ministry? And everybody's like, oh, Jesus, I'm called. Well, what about that? I know what you wanted. You wanted more of Jesus, and you wanted to serve him with all of your life. And the mindset is, yes, all of me, that means I'm going to work at the church because that's holy. But now you guys are a little bit older, and you're just thinking, yeah, about that. I kind of don't think I'm supposed to do that, so what do I do? Well, you just shrink into obscurity and become nobody. No! You lay hold of the destiny and the calling that God has for you, and this is something that's been on my heart, and you guys have heard this towards the end of last year a lot, something that was coming out of me, and that is that you have to storm the gates of the city, and if you're called to do whatever, you need to be the best at what you're called to be. Because you have to be Jesus in your world. And that doesn't mean that you work here, right? I hope this is getting through. Cornelius was a soldier. He was a soldier. He killed people for a living. That was his job. And somehow God took him and his faithfulness in his job, and he changed all of our lives and millions and millions and millions of people that came before us. He used that person. He took Joseph, and Joseph was on the top of his game, but he wasn't a priest. That wasn't God's plan for his life. That wasn't the thing that God had. And so here's what I need you guys to start thinking about for your life. Is when you see people leading you here in this place, and you look at that person, you might love what you see. You might love their gift. You might love their character. But you can't want to be that person. That person is that person. You're not. Right? You have to love who God's made you to be. And if who God's made you to be is the garbage man, dude, you got to rock the garbage action. Because you see an M&M, but God sees a cookie. You see what I'm saying? I mean, if I walk by and I see an M&M and a cookie, I'm never going to choose the M&M. But if all I can see is the chocolate chip with my natural eyes, I'm never going to perceive what God's going to make it. You guys seeing that? You guys seeing that? I mean, I was sitting with a young man that's in this room today, and he was thinking about a business venture, and his brain's just going, and he's all excited about it. And I'm just thinking, yeah, here's another millionaire for the kingdom that can just shovel money towards God, just kick it his way, be like, whatever you want to do with it, go for it. Hey? What happens when you're in a position like that? Well, you employ people. What happens when you employ people? You are attached to their money, which means you're attached to their heart, baby. And there's lots and lots of doors that God can open up. I want you guys to understand that it's important, not just that you don't want to be somebody you're not, but you embrace who God's made you to be. That's a super big deal. All of these people that we walk through the Bible, just briefly, if you just erase their names, we're not here. If you just take all the people that were priests and prophets, we're not here. We're not able to fulfill the will of God because somebody didn't fulfill the will of God in their generation. The artisan that God chose to make the temple and to say, this is what I want life to look like, that person doesn't use their gift in art, the temple doesn't get built. And we can't look to the Old Testament and see how God made us and how we're supposed to pray and so many things that are so important. Because this one person that could draw decided, I want to be the guy who doesn't draw. Okay, no, it doesn't make any sense. All right. All this is actually going somewhere. It's going somewhere kind of personal for me. I've had the privilege of leading here at GM for actually a long time, about 6 years off and on. Mostly on, a little bit off. You know, I've taken some classes and done some things on Thursday nights. And my time is coming to an end. And I want you to know something. When I was some of your ages, I was so proud that when I would look at somebody in the pew who had a normal job and just loved Jesus and loved their family, I had a really, really hard time receiving from that person. I mean, I would hear them, and I would be like, oh, that's just great, brother. Praise the Lord for you. But I couldn't see the treasure in that earthen vessel. All I could see was the treasure in those who people say that person has a treasure. And I missed out on a lot because of my pride. What's happening in my life is, at least for now, God is calling me back into the business world. And he's calling me. I have a business in Wasilla, and I do real estate, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of energy. And I want to do a good job. And here's what I want from you guys. I want you guys to still receive from me. Because I'm not just telling you today, hey, you got to go out there and be the guy who's not standing in front of people. I'm saying, hey, you guys need to go out there and be the guy that's not standing in front of people and doing a job. And guess what? Follow me. I'm going to do it. I think that's kind of important. I'm not going to tell you to do something that I'm not going to do myself. And to me, I think that means something. So I'm going to go and I'm going to embrace this season of life that God has set before me. And in doing that, I'm going to challenge you guys. Some of you guys, you're not doing anything worth your life. You're not going to school. You're not going to vocational school. You want to be a plumber, but you're not part of the union. You know, you're whatever. You know what? You need to get off your butt because nobody's going to be like, you are the next Billy Graham. Have the stage. Now, it's just not going to happen. Sorry, it's never happened that way before, and it's not going to start now. Maybe God is calling you into full-time ministry. Guess what? If you learn how to turn wrenches really well, you're going to have some character so you can carry a pulpit later. I'm just saying. That's the deal, guys. So what God's doing in my life, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not falling off the face of the earth. I haven't fallen into any kind of deep sin or anything like that. God's taking me in a different direction. And what that means for you guys is you guys get to choose. Can you still receive from me as somebody sits next to you in the pew? My answer is, I hope you do, because I couldn't. And I lost out. And you have the opportunity to not. Yeah? You guys cool? You guys good? Right on. I love you guys. I'm not going to fall off the face of the earth. You guys are still, like, a bunch of you guys have already come over to my house. You guys are totally welcome to hang out with me, to do lunch with me, all that stuff. But it's just going to be a different season in my life. And seasons come and seasons go, and life looks way different sometimes than you think it'll look. But we're not the ones in charge. Cool? All right. I want to pray. I'm going to hand it over to Gabriel. God, tonight, I thank you for a new season, and I thank you tonight for every man and every woman in this room that's a minister. I'm asking, God, that you would give us vision for our individual lives. God, that we would fulfill the call of God in our lives, God, whether that's being a Joseph and learning business and serving, even under a harsh master. God, whether it's Abraham that says, that God says, I want you to leave Alaska. I want you to move down to Hawaii. Praise the Lord. Let it be so. God, I'm just praying that you would move in our lives, God, that we would be obedient, that we would be Nehemiahs, that we would be the cupbearer. We'd be the guy that works at McDonald's and just like, I'm just going to serve Jesus here until God opens up a door. God, I'm just praying that we wouldn't despise the things that you've put in our lives. God, have your way in us, God. Make us more. God, the body of Christ isn't going to grow by one person sitting in front of a group. God, it's going to grow by the group sitting in front of their friends and their coworkers and their fellow students. Have your way in us, God. Amen. Amen. Somebody spilled soda. Praise the Lord.
All right, some of you guys, I don't know if you all know me, but my name's Josh Tanner. Some of you might not know that. And I'm the senior pastor of this church now. And Reed and I have been building in this ministry for, it's getting close to probably the last 7 years. And I think that I've always felt like this is the direction Reed was going to go, that Reed was going to be, you know, stay here in this position as a youth pastor. And I actually felt like Reed and I would probably lead a church together long term. And who knows what the Lord's going to do? I don't know exactly what direction we're going. But I just want you to know, Reed, and I've told you this personally, but publicly, that you've been one of the best friends I've had in my life. And to serve alongside you in ministry has been an honor. And I don't want it to stop. You know, I want it to continue on, even though it's a new direction. But our ministry would not be where it's at right now without this man right here. It's really true. And there's so many things behind the scenes of the way the Lord has used Reed in my own personal life, in your lives, but in the shaping of our ministry. He has a unique gift to shape structures and to build ministries, and he sees things in a very unique way that brings tremendous value. And it's always been we're out seeking the Lord and fasting and praying, I don't know if we've done too much fasting, but we certainly do pray together, you know. Hallelujah. Anyway, I have a couple scriptures I want to read, but so many things in life, like Reed is talking about, we think are going to happen in a certain way, and then God just has a whole different plan of the way he's going to shape us, the way he's going to build us, going to build ministry, going to shape and build our church. I've had many, many turns that are similar to this one. I think you're going to do one thing and all of a sudden everything goes the other direction. But one thing that I want you to know is to watch Reed through this transition is the example of how you go through transition. The example. I mean, he's been like Jesus through this transition. It has been really amazing to watch his character just shine and to just change and just go with the direction the Lord's going to go. And stuff like this, guys, it sounds really cut and dry, but it's never like that. It's real life. Like when we're sorting this stuff out and Reed's taking a turn in his life, it sounds all like he preaches in this great message. It sounds all great, but this is a big shift. I think about in my heart the things that I'm still grieving, and because it's a loss of a vision, a loss of a dream that I had, and it's all changing for Reed and for me, I mean, and for all of us. So here's the word that I feel like the Holy Spirit kind of gave me, and I was talking about this on Sunday, and it's just so applicable to right now, and it's 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. This is the Apostle Paul saying this. And if you think about some more of his testimony about what he's been through, and he says his small momentary troubles. He was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned, almost. I think he was stoned to death and raised from the dead one time or something. Whipped, flogged, chained, persecuted, yelled at, right? This guy knows what it means to really suffer. And he says, these small little momentary troubles, you know. The eternal glory, it just far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is not what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And seasons like this, they're really hard and they shape us, but it's about what's happening on the inside. It's focusing keeping our eyes even in the midst of hard transition and suffering. And for some of you, this is going to be tough. To have Reed shift in a different role in your life is going to be difficult for you. And the goal here is that, look, we're pressing towards the mark. We live, it goes on to say, we don't live by sight, but we live by faith, right? We live by faith, not by sight. And this is the thing I want to encourage all of us to do, is that even in the midst of our momentary hurts, troubles, Lord, how is this going to work? How are we going to run our youth ministry without a youth pastor, like, right over it? You know what? It's just like the cookie. It's great. It's not what is seen. It's what's unseen. We know God has us in the palm of his hand. We know he's going to bless us and lead us. We know that he is going to direct us, right? And all we're going to do is just continue to trust him and watch him work it out. So this is what I want to encourage you, church, to do, is to stand in faith and believe God that he is going to bring all the messages we need and direct us and lead us through the current leaders that are here. And that we're just going to continue to grow and press on towards the mark, the thing that God shaped us for. Amen. So if I could have especially our core leaders just come down right now, and then I want to invite you guys, but one thing I want you to see, one, is that you guys can just cuddle. Just cuddle. Hallelujah. Cuddling is good in Jesus' name. So these are, we're missing a couple. James. California. One of the things we're doing is we're transferring basically all of Reed's responsibilities into this group. Okay? This group of leaders. These guys have been with us for a myriad of years. They're not all guys either. Some of them are ladies. Not gals. They get offended when you call them gals. Because they're really ladies. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Brother Tanner. Copy Dick Benjamin. All right. So a lot of the preaching and teaching, and also we've asked Reed. Reed is not going to stop coming here and sharing the word on Sundays and here on Thursday nights and hopefully on Wednesday nights with the junior high. He has a remarkable gift to teach the word of God. And again, like Reed said, Reed has not fallen into some kind of sin. Reed has ridiculous gifts in the business world for the Lord. And I don't know what God's going to do. God's going to do something good. And I know that God uses Reed in the church world as well to equip the saints. And I know that he's going to continue to do that however the Lord leads him. So I want us to just kind of extend our hands. If you could stand with us. We're just going to lay hands on Reed, and I encourage you guys to just kind of stretch your hands this way. And we're just going to pray a blessing over Reed. Okay, I'm going up. Okay, how are we doing, church? You guys, faith is built up. You guys ready? Okay, we're going to believe God that God is going to launch Reed into this next season of his life. Amen? It's got the case of the giggles down here. What's going on? Lord, I thank you for Reed, and I thank you for my friendship, God, my personal friendship with Reed, and God, all of the personal challenge and transformation that's happened in my life and because of my friendship with him. And God, I'm just thanking you for his life and for his ability to challenge and bring across the truth and love. And Lord, for his gift of wisdom and his gift of teaching and dividing the word. And God, I thank you for his honesty and Lord, for the gifts that you've placed inside him to just equip your saints and also to just carry out, even in the business world, God, to excel and to take dominion, Lord God. And I pray that he would take the mountain of business, Lord God. He would take it by storm and for your kingdom in Jesus' name. God, I pray right now that you would bless him in everything he puts his hands to, God, that you would give him a heart of obedience for you, that he would walk in full obedience to your will, God, that you would guide and direct him. God, you would shine your light upon the path that you are directing him to go. You just keep his heart girded up, Lord God, and his mind is protected, Lord God, in Christ Jesus. And God, you'd put a fiery hedge of protection around him, God. And we come against the enemy's schemes to bring disillusionment or division or any kind of weird emotions between us, Lord God, or weirdness in all of our relationships. And that he would even, God, we come against him by the power of your spirit, even if he would try to get anybody in this room to not receive from his gift. Because, God, you say, as we receive the prophet for the prophet's reward, Lord God, we want to receive this teacher and this pastor and this man of God for this man of God, God. And we want to receive it for that reward that it is. And, God, we embrace that and his new role that you're calling him into, God. We send him and commission him to it. We ask that you would bless him, Lord God, and he would find tremendous favor, God, that you would increase his tent stakes, God, you just grow it, God, that every blessing you have for him, you'd pour it out on him, God, that you would increase him financially, God, and that you would just entrust him with just great resources for your kingdom. God, we just ask that, God, in everything he would be blessed as he goes in the city and out into the country and out, God, in the home and out of the home, God, that he would be blessed, that Rebecca would be blessed, that his children would be blessed, that, God, they would serve you every day of their life, and, God, that his children's children would serve you, God, and that their children would serve you. God, I'm speaking family faithfulness, God, multi-generational family faithfulness over this man of God, that, God, he would be a patriarch for you in Jesus' name. God, bless him today. God, I thank you for him, Lord. God, help all of our relationships to just continue forward, to get deeper and stronger, God, and that no roots of bitterness would rise up to defile any of us, God, that we would all walk in total forgiveness and love and acceptance, Lord God, and we would embrace one another with your great love, God. We bless your name, God. To you be the glory, God. We ask that in our church, in this youth ministry, God, you would move us the direction you're calling us to. Help us, God. Help us to just experience the power of your love and your grace, God. Help us to all become true ministers for you, Lord God. God, in every aspect of our life, God, and we ask that this day you would send us out, God, to truly just walk out in obedience to your will. God, we lift you up. We lift you up today. And all God's people who believe it say, amen, 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 amen. Love you, brother. Thanks for that word. That was a really awesome word. Praise God.